Well, Mayor Doug Medlin, thanks for sharing your views with our listeners today. You say that you have served the town of Surf City for over 34 years in one way or another.
Exactly, right.
Tell us what you've done.
Okay, start with, I went on the planning board for 4 years. And then I ran as a councilman for 4 years. Then I served as mayor for 4 years. And then I decided that was enough as mayor and went back to council. Now, a year and a half ago, or almost, well, 2.5 years ago, I guess it's been now, the mayor at that time left and took another job. So I was elected to go back in as mayor. And, of course, I do have a lot more time now. The problem when I was mayor before was trying to raise a family, tend to businesses and all that. It just didn't feel like I had the time. But now I'm just about retired, so I have plenty of time to spend in the town work.
And what are the family businesses?
Family businesses, my wife has a real estate company, which is Island Real Estate, and then I own East Coast Sports, and my son and his wife are taking that over. So that relieves me of a lot of that duty.
You're surrounded by a lot of immediate family in Surf City.
Yes. My daughter is there. She is a nurse practitioner, and she has 3 children. And then my son has 2 children, so that's 5 grandchildren within right around me all the time. And then, of course, I have 3 more grandchildren in Durham, so they're not that far away.
How do you think Surf City is different for you having been in town government?
I think Surf City is different because I've been in town government. Now, when I first went in as mayor, my whole reason is, well, when I first went in government there, the whole reason was to keep Surf City a quaint, family-type beach and a good place to raise your children. And as it happened to be, I was raised there, my children was raised there, and my grandchildren are being raised there. So it's a fun, safe environment for families. We did a lot of this by limiting height there, so we don't have the Myrtle Beach type appeal in Surf City.
And now there is a difference between Surf City, the island, and Surf City mainland, is that right?
Yes,
in terms
there is.
Of and restrictions.
That's where we were fortunate. Unlike the south end of the island, Topsail Beach didn't have a chance to grow onto the mainland. So we were able to grow onto the mainland and put a lot of those amenities that people want, but they don't want them on the island. They don't want it cluttered. So we are able to move over onto the mainland, and that's where growth is coming. But we are controlling growth there. But I'm glad to see the growth, because what happens is it grows, it brings more amenities in for our people. And that's one thing I'm trying to do, is bring more amenities such as medical facilities. Bring some specialists in so they don't have to drive so far to find a specialist, because we do have a lot of elderly people in our area. I also like to bring in more amusements and more entertainment, especially for our youth. Because if we can give good, clean entertainment for our youth, hopefully that will keep them from getting in trouble. So that's one thing I'm trying to bring in also.
You are a member of the Coastal Resource Commission.
True.
Until 2023, at least.
Right.
What is your role on that commission? Do you have a pet cause? What do you want to make happen because you're on that commission?
Probably one of my pet causes is no drilling offshore. I would hate to see the oil wells come in off our coast. I have spent time in the Gulf, and you see it up on the beaches there. But that's not the bad part. When you go back into the marshlands and all behind is where it's just impossible to clean it up back in there. And it just kills a lot of the wildlife and the fishery in those areas.
What do you think, as part of this state body, is going to happen? What's on the docket in the near term for the state of North Carolina in terms of offshore drilling?
Well, hopefully we can convince our federal entities to go against the drilling on this coast. South Carolina has come in very strong with us on this, And of course, now, you know, they're not allowing the drilling off the Florida coast. So I think they should do the same thing for our coast here.
And the other members of the Coastal Resource Commission, do you think they share your view on that?
We voted on that, and it was unanimous that we all voted in favor of no drilling offshore.
Now, the town government in Surf City has seen quite a bit of drama in recent weeks and months. We know that Ben David's office had to recuse itself from working on an investigation of your opponent because a representative from Ben David's office mistakenly, unwittingly, supposedly, went to a campaign function for you. And Ben David's office complains that in the description they didn't know it was a campaign event. The
right.
lines were blurred. What would you say
about
that now?
Okay, the way this all came about was back in May. And when Cape Fear Community College had a fundraiser, I was there and Ben David was there also. I asked him at that time if he would come and speak. Because my whole idea is I bring speakers in as often as I can to give information to our citizens. And that's what I was doing at that time. Yes, it was not a fundraiser. Now, that was where the paper made a mistake. It was just a campaign.
You're talking about Port City Daily.
Right.
Who broke this news.
Yes. And anyway, but it was not a fundraiser. I do not have fundraisers in my campaign.
Okay.
So anyway, but it was a campaign. But I was not bringing them in to speak for me as to, you know, in other words, not recommending me, but just as information for the citizens.
Did you know at the time that Ben David's office would have a mandate to not appear at any campaign events because of political reasons?
No.
I mean, anything
I
that's political?
No, I didn't know that. And according to the Port City Daily News, I didn't know it would be legal for him to come and speak, but it wasn't legal for a representative of his to come and speak, is what they said. But anyway, that was the mix-up. And, you know, I hate very, in other words, it hurts me that it hurt David. Because I do, he is an excellent person. He is a very honorable person. And I am as well. So, I mean, you know.
And, of course, we've heard about the drama with your personal assistant, who is not a town employee, and the tension and the debates, I guess we could call it, between the town manager, Ashley Loftus. What is your responsibility in this kind of ongoing feud?
Okay. As far as what the paper is talking about, my responsibility was not allow her to go to any closed meetings. She never attended any closed meetings whatsoever. I don't care what the paper says. And also, as far as what they were talking about.
Just to be clear, a few news organizations reported this, but you're talking about Port City Daily.
Yes.
That they
yes.
said
well,
that.
I mean, they're the ones that
they also
broke,
this news.
Yeah, they broke
yes.
this news. I
yes.
mean, they're. So anyway, I'm not talking about your news reporting, but I'm talking about Port City's. And as they said, you know, and they were saying that they were arguing in the parking lot. Nobody, the police report, nobody has said that they were arguing in the parking lot. Nobody knows even what they were talking about in the parking lot.
So do you completely dispute then the notion that there is a feud between these two?
Yes, there's no feud between it. Now, she did, because Jeremy came in and said, Jeremy Shook came in and said that she had attended a closed meeting. So that was where this all started.
Right.
But the meeting was not a closed meeting.
So that was a mistake to identify it as a closed meeting,
exactly.
Is what you're saying.
According to attorneys.
Now, since we're talking about Jeremy Shugarts, we know that he's been indicted for election law violations. These are alleged felonies. And your son may or may not have been linked to a website that was going after your political opponent. Again, this is Port City Daily's reporting, and he wouldn't confirm or deny it. He said no comment, refused to deny any involvement in the creation of a mock website, according to Port City Daily, that emerged disparaging a city councilman, that's Jeremy Shugarts, who is challenging you for the mayor's seat.
Correctly. And I had told my son, in other words, he is to stay out of my politics, and he has. He stayed out of it.
He's the treasurer of the committee. He's your treasurer of the committee.
Not anymore. No, I took him out as treasurer.
He's not treasurer anymore.
Complications there. I try to run something is open. I don't know who did that. That was a website that we used probably 20 years ago. But now that website was recorded in Burgall. So, and that's what they said. So they knew where that website came from. And that website was put in Burgall over 20 years ago. So, you know, somebody got hold of that website some way or another and used it. But besides that, really what was on that website was completely true. Now, it never mentioned anything about the felonies. In fact, I think, didn't it happen before the felonies came out?
The website was before, I think, his indictment.
Right. So, I mean, it wasn't mentioning that. That was, you know, and like I say, if something comes out as true, and this went through the attorneys with the police department, went through the attorneys in the Board of Election, and all of them said that it was not anything illegal about it.
Pender County is talking about expanding its capacity.
Right.
For gallons per day.
We have our own water system. In fact, our water system is a great water system. In other words, you can pull the fire truck right up to it, hook up to the hydrant, fight the fires. As you saw, I believe, did you get any of the sights from the fire that we had on the island the other day? Okay, we have plenty of water in Surf City. In fact, right now we are furnishing Pender County some water to help them through their time.
Where do you want to see that go? How do you see it going in the future? Do you think that Surf City will eventually pool resources with Pender County, or do you see Surf City's water source growing independently?
Well, I would love to see us find a way to work with Pender County. And the problem, the reason is because we have the sewer in that area, the only sewer in that area. So if any development really wanted to come in, they would need the sewer. And we can't furnish sewer without furnishing water. So we need to work with Pender County some way or another that we can work together.
Surf City has taken multiple hits over the decades from storms, from tropical storms.
Yes, it has.
And hurricanes. And, of course, coming down the pike, you have some, it's not being called beach renourishment, but a sand haul project.
Okay,
right?
We have both coming.
Okay, what's the difference between beach renourishment and a sand haul project?
Well, renourishment is after a beach has been nourished and you've got a certified beach, okay?
An engineered beach registered
with
the authorities.
Right. In other words, it has to be an engineered beach in order to have renourishment, okay? So right now what we're in the process of doing is, and we started this 5 years ago. Well, up to before that, back in 2005, we started with the federal government. And at that time, they were going to do a nourishment project for us. And then, of course, when they do the nourishment project, then they come in and do the renourishment every 5 to 7 years, according to when it's needed. All right, so we depended on the federal government. And then it's been about 6 years ago now, we said, well, looks like they're not going to do anything, so we're going to have to do something privately. So we put in a 10-cent tax on the people to start raising money to do a private nourishment. So prior to this Hurricane Florence,
the one in 2018.
Right, the one in 2018, prior to Florence, then we decided that we would go ahead with the, we had the money, so we would go ahead with the private nourishment. Well, then Florence came in. That sort of threw everything back. Now, the sand that's being hauled in is going to be paid for by the FEMA. So we're not turning down any sand. We'll take sand any way you bring it. If you want to bring it by the bucket full, that's fine. But anyway, so that sand is being put on the beach, and it's called a temporary berm is what it's called. So it does help protect. Then at the same time, we're doing our private nourishment in this coming winter and spring. And that's being done from the back channel of Topsail. And so sand will be pumped from there. We have two dredges coming in. They will be pumping on Topsail Beach and Surf City as well.
Given the expense of nourishment and how complicated things appear to be getting for beach communities, I mean, this is true up and down the coast.
Yes.
And given sea level rise, have you considered or will you consider other strategies going forward besides just adding sand to the beach?
Well, I mean, there's probably some other stretches, but we met with the government the other day, and some of them want to seriously look at building the dikes or whatever you want to call them to hold the sand.
You talking about terminal groins?
Some groins. I don't know exactly what they're going to build now because they're coming up with different things. But anyway, some type of containment of the sand. So
that's a tool.
Do what?
That's a tool that you're talking about.
That's one tool that they're looking at now.
When you say the government and they're looking at, are you talking about Surf City Town Council or are you talking about?
No, federal.
Okay.
Federal. And so.
The Army Corps of Engineers?
Well, no, these were just senators and congressmen.
Okay.
That was talking about that.
Okay.
Our local ones. So hopefully they will help us on that end. But now one thing we are fortunate with, you know, here, our erosion rate is supposedly 2 foot, where when you go to the Outer Banks up there, you're talking about 7-8 foot up there. So our erosion rate is a lot less here than it is up there. So that's one thing that has helped us along because, I mean, Surf City Beach still has a fine beach but has never been nourished. So if we nourish it, then we feel like that nourishment will last a lot longer here than it would other locations.
Hampstead citizens have considered incorporation. It seems to be cyclical. It comes in waves. If Hampstead ever were to incorporate, how would that affect Surf City?
I don't think it would affect us at all. And, of course, I'm definitely going to leave that up to Hampstead. I'm not going to get in that fight, you know. That's and like you say, that has been going on for years, and just like Sneed's Ferry. So, you know, that's up to the community as a whole to whether they want to incorporate or not. But I would be glad to have them to incorporate, and we could probably work a little easier with them as incorporated. You know, there's a lot of things we could probably do.
What are some of those things that you could collaborate on?
When you're incorporated, that's just like with Topsail Beach and North Topsail. We interchange a lot of services at times. And then when we have the hurricanes and all, we all come together and, come up with like forms so that one knows what the other one's doing. So it makes it a little easier to work with if you've got a local group that you can work with.
Pender County is considering a unified development ordinance that it seems developer-friendly interests oppose. According to the Star News, the UDO would take away property owners' ability to develop their own land. Do you support or oppose the UDO? What is Surf City's position in all this?
We haven't taken a position in that. And I am not for taking away owners' rights to develop land. Now, yes, we have to put regulations in as how the land is developed. And that's the reason you have zonings and all. But I think that it's up to the local municipalities to control their own area.
Assuming that you're reelected, let's use our imagination here for a moment, and you serve another term as mayor, go out to the end of the term and look back. What has happened because you were mayor of Surf City for another term? What do you want to make absolutely certain happens a certain way or gets finished according to your vision?
Okay. One thing I want to do, and this has been a problem, and it's been a problem everywhere, every meeting I have had since the hurricane, every municipality talks about lack of communication. So I think we have a big responsibility to do more communication. Now, unlike my opponent, I feel communication is a two-way street. In other words, yes, the town, we need to get more communication out, but we need to receive more communication back from our citizens. We're not mind readers. So unless the citizens let us know what they feel like they need, then we can't do what they need to have done. Also, I mean, growth is something that's going to happen. And ever since I have been in there, we have tried to watch how the growth has come. You can control growth with a lot of your tools, and that is being done in our area. You don't see the tall high-rises on Topsail Island or on Surf City. So we're growing like we want to grow. That's the way our citizens want it to grow. But we're growing on the mainland, and that's where we will bring in the facilities that we need for our people. But so growth and change go together. And some people say, well, we need to throw the old crowd out and put a new crowd in so we can have a change. No. We have been changing for years, and we have been going along with change. And you make a plan for this change, but that plan changes as growth comes. So you have to vary that. But it's just, you know, in other words, everything is a two-way street. You do what the citizens want, and then you look at that and do what is best for all.
Tell us how the citizens can communicate with you. What are there areas, I mean, you seem very aware of this, and you said that this had to do with the hurricane.
It brought it to light.
Right, sorry, yes. That's what I
right.
meant.
Uh-huh.
And so it, not just the municipality of Surf City, but other communities around the region are saying
yes.
the same thing.
Right.
How would you like to communicate better with the citizens, or what would you like to hear from them? How would you like to hear from them?
Right now, it would vary according to other places. I can't say how every place would do it. But we are still a small-type community. I give my phone number to everybody there, so if they've got a complaint, they can call me directly and complain. But a lot of it would be done through communication with the town hall. In other words, if you see something that's wrong, just pick up the phone, call the town hall, let them know. Ask them to pass it on to the board or to me. And that's the best way, because, I mean, we're not everywhere all the time. So if all the citizens do the same thing, then we've got eyes all over the town. And so things can come in to us.
Does your phone ever ring in the middle of the night?
Oh, yes, it does. It doesn't bother me. And, of course, I'm usually up till 12, 1 o'clock at night, and then I'm up at 6 o'clock the next morning, so they've got a short window they can wake me up.
Okay.
But they're welcome to wake me up if it's important.
Okay. So you said that you would like to see communication improved.
Yes.
Over the next couple of years, the two-way
right.
street between the citizens and town council. If there was one project that you could, you didn't have to raise funds or build consensus, you could wave your magic wand and that project would happen that way, what would it be?
When I come out of office, I want to have our new town hall built, which we are already working on, at no expense whatsoever to the citizens of Surf City. I think that's a pretty good accomplishment.
And how did you do that?
Okay, first of all, property was donated to us. A friend of mine that I grew up with, his family owned the property, and so he donated us a little over $9,000 worth of property. I mean, $900,000 worth of property to build a town hall. Also, we got money from FEMA, and then we got insurance from our old town hall that got destroyed during the storm. Not much, but a little bit. And then we got the Gold Leaf Grant. So combine all those, we will be building it, a nice new one, big one, without any expense. I am proud of that, and very proud. I want to complete adding on to our water and sewer. I know we're going to need it because we are growing at a pretty good pace at this time. And that's one of the big things that we're looking at right now.
Do you know what your growth rate is?
Growth rate, no, not exactly. I mean, we're probably, I'd say probably at least 8 to 10% per year, which is a pretty good growth rate. We haven't got our new census yet, but I have all ideas that's going to tell us a big, big difference right there. We're not the 200 or 300 that we were at one time. We're probably going to be closer to 4,000, and which is a large increase.
Mayor Doug Medlin, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think it's important people understand about you when they go to the polls?
I think the most important thing that they need to understand about me is my love for Surf City. That's the reason I serve, is because of my love for that town. I've been there since I was 2 years old. So I have seen the town grow. I have seen changes. I have been worked right along with those changes. And so I can continue working with those changes and working with the people in Surf City. They're my family that I have grown up with. Some of them are new families. And that's the way families grow. You know, they start off with a couple of people in the family, but as the family grows, you have new people come in, and you accept them with open arms. And I feel like that's what Surf City has done. So I feel like that we're all family.
Mayor Doug Medlin, thank you so much for sharing your views with our listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me here.